One more for the road. It's a weekly pulse on all things green and gold with the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. I'm ESPN Wisconsin's Alex Strofar. Season 2 finale of at least the weekly edition of Weekly Wilde. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Strof.
The Seattle Seahawks are Super Bowl champions.
Indeed they are. And I've already got people in my timeline posting their first mock drafts. God. I love the off season because it means I get to spend more time with Maddie and Sid and Paula and the dogs and the cats. But man, I mock drafts.
Well, you're smart enough. You've done this long enough. I don't need to tell you this, but I'm just going to say it. You're well aware, especially in 2026, the NFL calendar doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't. But who, like, it's just. You're just trying to scam people into reading, clicking on something, right? Like, you have no idea who the Packers are going to draft. Like,
sure.
We haven't even had the scouting combine.
Correct.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is like, I understand.
Away. No, like, I actually enjoy this conversation because I don't agree with the scam seems strong, but yeah, I think the mock drafts in the timeline portion, people are trying to figure out, okay, who is who? Who's going to get drafted? Who played where? Where are they, at least as of right now, on February 12th, valued? And I think people are just trying to get their bearings because the NFL draft, obviously, and we experienced it up close and personal last year, has evolved into such a spectacle that everybody wants to be an expert on it. And while I don't participate in the mock drafts and I don't pretend to know squat, for example, when the Packers drafted Anthony Belton in the second round last year, like I knew he was good. I knew he was big. I had no idea how he would pan out and still don't really, frankly.
Yeah, neither do they.
Yeah, right. But I don't know. I like the idea of, hey, this is kind of the rough area you could expect this guy to go if you watched a couple of Oregon State's games and you like this product.
Yeah, you have no idea. These they have no idea. None.
So you will not be participating in any mock drafts.
No,
then.
Packers need a corner. Yeah, they do. We don't even know which members of their free agent class are going to re-sign yet, right? We don't know that. I would rather hear more about, like, in my opinion, here's what Aaron Rodgers said about Luke Getsy back in 2022.
Good transition.
And predicting that he'd be a head coach someday. Wrong at this point. Went the other direction. Instead, he's back to being a quarterback's coach. Like, what does that mean for him? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm more interested in. And to your point where you started before I interrupted you with my screed about mock draft season.
Wait, what did Aaron Rodgers say? You never finished it.
What?
You said Aaron Rodgers said about Luke Getsy. You never
said. Yeah, we got to read channel3000.com. I'm going to put out the newsletter here for you in a moment. Then you can click on the link. It'll take you right there. But like, again, the Super Bowl, you brought up the Super Bowl. Well, I thought Bill Huber did a really good job. I know we used it on our show. I believe Jen, Gabe, and Chewy did as well. The five lessons the Packers could learn from the Seahawks. Now that's interesting. That's a good idea. I like that. So, again, we're all trying to figure out what we're writing this offseason. I've got a fascinating Desmond Ridder story that I'll be working on soon because they're going to lose Malik Willis, and they clearly brought him on board as a guy that they could potentially develop along with another quarterback who, frankly, I can't even remember his name. He was a fifth-round pick out of Syracuse that they added on a futures contract. I'm more interested in that because they're about to lose arguably the best backup quarterback in football. Like, I don't count Mac Jones because Mac Jones is a starter who was stuck as a backup with another team, right? Like, don't get me wrong, he was really good for the 49ers. Like, he helped keep them afloat more than just keep them afloat when Brock Purdy was out, but he's not really a backup.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's like saying that, Sam Darnold's a bad example because he was a former starter who then became the starter in Minnesota, and now he's a starter again.
Well, now he's a Super Bowl champion, indeed. Kyle McCord is the Syracuse quarterback
Yeah!
you're referring to.
Thank you.
I didn't realize he signed a futures contract with the Packers. I totally missed that news last month. So
And you
that's
call yourself a Packers fan.
right. I got to be honest, Jason. I cannot name every futures contract they have signed in the last month. I can admit that. I can at least admit my shortcomings.
Yeah, but
So.
quarterbacks are different, aren't they? Like, I kind of feel like quarterbacks.
Yeah, but and that's I don't want to dive into quarterbacks quite yet because I want to dive into I do want to dive into quarterbacks because I want to dive into Luke Getsy because you called it the least surprising hire of your career with Homer last night, and I do want to dive into that comment. But I do eventually before we wrap up for at least our regular weekly theme today, I do want to ask you how they address backup quarterback. But Luke Getsy, least surprising hire of your career, you called it with Homer last night on the Homer Hour. We've talked about it for a few weeks. It's what we both expected. He's been in the building. He was working with the offense. He's been the quarterback's coach. Is it twice now, three times under Matt LaFleur?
No, only twice.
Got it. But anyway, back to this position for him after a couple stints as offensive coordinator in Vegas and Chicago, other way around, and spent last season as an offensive analyst, I believe was his title.
Senior offensive assistant.
Got it. And now back to quarterback's coach after Sean Mannion departs for Philadelphia.
To have his house egged.
Correct. Right move, wrong move, indifferent on it. What do you make of it? It seemed like the obvious move for sure.
So maybe that was a little bit of hyperbole, calling it the most, the least unexpected or whatever I called it in my career. But it made, like, they brought him back. He gets fired by the Raiders in November of 2024. LaFleur does the Robert Saleh in reverse with him. Robert Saleh, defensive guy, comes in, helps the offense by giving them insights from a defensive perspective. Luke Getsy comes in during the second half of 2024 to give the defense insights from an offensive coordinator's perspective. Then he gets added to the staff in kind of this nebulous title, senior offensive assistant, the assistant to the traveling secretary, like Costanza. But it's basically, we want this guy on staff, so when we have an opening, he's already here, and guys are already familiar with him again, right? Because he'd been gone for 2.5 years, basically, right? 22, 23, he's in Chicago. 24, he's in Vegas. So, look, I said this to Homer. A lot of times, and I'm not saying that Luke Getsy can't be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers thought he was going to be a head coach. As of now, that's not his trajectory. But, like, he also went to two historically dysfunction baked into the cake organizations, right? The Raiders and the Bears. Now, the Bears appear with their quarterback and their head coach to have broken that cycle, right? Raiders are hoping Clint Kubiak, after many, many, many tries, can do so as well. But that may be, it's possible that Luke Getsy just went to two of the worst organizations he could have gone to, and that's why he failed. It's also possible that he's one of those coaches who ascended to one level higher than he should be. Right? Like Ray Rhodes, unbelievable defensive coordinator. Head coach, not a lot of success, right? I think in 95 he won Coach of the Year, but Vic Fangio, great, like Hall of Fame
Great point.
level defensive coordinator. Good head coach? Probably not, right? So maybe Luke Getsy, who Devontae Adams raved about when he was the wide receivers coach in 16 and 17, who Aaron Rodgers raved about when he was the quarterback's coach. And then, when Getsy left, what does Rodgers do? He goes and recruits Tom Clements out of retirement. So, I think he makes a lot of sense. I don't think this is some, because I was on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in the on Thursday morning, and like there was frustration with, oh, he's just hiring his buddies and it's no change. And I understand that. I understand the optics of it. But maybe Luke Getsy is exactly the kind of quarterback's coach that now Jordan Love needs going into his fourth year as the starter. Like, he's not the same guy he was the first time Luke Getsy coached him as a rookie first-round pick and then a second-year guy, both years of which, by the way, he needed a lot of developing because he wasn't very good, and now he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it definitely defeats the idea of the fresh ideas thing that I wanted. They bring in a new wide receivers coach within the last, I think it was last Thursday when they hired him. But other than that, that offensive staff is pretty much the same. Defensively, obviously, several changes, including at the top with Jonathan Gannon. But I don't know. I don't get the frustration here. I think this is a fine move. It was the expected move. But I guess I understand the frustration from some Packers fans. It's the argument of complacency versus urgency or status quo versus stability, which is a conversation we've had all offseason. Now, especially with the extensions of LaFleur, Gutekunst, and Russ Ball. But the ultimate thing is, Jason, and I hate to drop this because we're also going to be so football starving for the next 7 months or 6 months. But we won't really know until they play several games if this – specifically this hire, but same with Gannon and some of the other ones, if this is a rousing success or a failure, if it was the right or wrong move, we just really won't know. And frankly, at this point, specifically with the quarterbacks coach, Jordan Love is in a position at this point in his career where he is still ascending, but he is an established franchise quarterback. So I don't know how big of an effect a quarterback coach necessarily has on his development in year seven.
I think that's the important piece of this. Like now, you know, he's not a fully formed quarterback that this is who he's always going to be. There's still, you know, plenty of room for improvement. But like, let me see if I can get this into the camera angle. If this is where he was in 2020 and 2021, and this would be him winning the MVP and winning a Super Bowl, he's much more like here. Right. So there's still room for him to go up, but not I hope that works, especially on the radio when we replay this in Beaver Dam and elsewhere. I don't get the outrage either. Again, everyone gets excited about change. Right. Yeah. Like had the Packers, you know, taken away and this was what Tausch was arguing. And I don't think he's necessarily wrong. Clearly, they don't think that Rich Bisaccia being in charge of their special teams is a detriment. Like, Goody, like, talk about how much they've improved since he took over 4 years ago. Again, I'm not sure I agree, just like I don't agree that there's not a clear line of demarcation of age 30 on your roster, which I still can't believe he – I shouldn't have said that because it set him up to respond that way. But my point is that if they had moved on from Bisaccia and made Byron Storer – their special teams coordinator, Packers fans would be thrilled. Mm-hmm. And they don't know a gosh darn thing or whatever you want to say about the Byron Storer's resume, his adeptness as a coach, if things will be better or not. They just know that he's different, right? And mm-hmm. So if that's the case, different is better. In the mind of the public opinion and the, oh, well, at least he's doing something, right? I know you would hear that. So if they went out and hired, let's say they Connor Senger, who is the guy that was in Arizona with Jonathan Gannon, went to Pius, played for the Badgers, was the scout team offensive player of the year, 2 years running at Wisconsin back in the day during the Paul Chryst era, then transferred to Oshkosh, coached in like Whitewater and Carroll. If they'd have hired him as the quarterback's coach, everybody would be like, hey, this is great. Myself included, right? Hey, Milwaukee guy, great story. Can't wait to write about it. Luke Getsy, you're like, I'm familiar with Luke Getsy. But does that mean Connor Senger, and I have nothing against him, I don't know him at all. I would root for him because we grew up in the same area. Like, but would he be a better coach than Jordan Love? For Jordan Love than Luke Getsy? You don't know. I don't know. And quite frankly, Matt LaFleur doesn't even know.
Right.
But it would be different. And there's not a lot of different this offseason. So I understand the frustration.
All right, as we are about a month away from free agency, let's dive into some of these position groups and talk about how you and I expect them to address said needs, whether that's free agency, the draft, both, or maybe they don't touch it a whole lot. Let's start with quarterback. You mentioned it a bit earlier. So Malik Willis is going to be gone. I think that is the biggest guarantee in terms of all of the Packers free agents. Malik Willis will not be back in Green Bay in 2026 as he goes and likely competes for a starting job. Maybe with Jeff Hafley in Miami, we will see. Kyle McCord, you mentioned, and Desmond Ridder are under contract for the Packers right now, obviously, along with Jordan Love. We expect them in some capacity to bring in another guy, though, Jason. I think it's probably more likely it's the draft than a veteran in free agency, but where do you land about a month out from free agency?
Yeah, I mean, what do they have right now? Six picks, and then they're expecting one or two seventh-round compensatory picks? Like, I know John Eric Sullivan, in taking over in Miami, said that he wanted to draft a quarterback every year if he could, which is, yep. You know, Goody has said that, et cetera. But, like, I would expect a Michael Pratt-type guy, which you got to be, at this point, you got to be pretty hardcore Packers fan to get that reference. He was a seventh-round pick a couple years ago. A Sean Cliff, like, I don't think, and again, no offense to their current roster, but like, I don't think they can burn a fifth round pick on a Sean Clifford.
No, I agree.
Like, I think that's an important, you got to pick somebody that can play for you. You're going to have to replenish your offensive line depth. So that's all great. Oh, we're going to draft a quarterback every year like Ron Wolf. Well, Ron Wolf built football teams that had a lot of veteran players that were pretty damn good still, right? And so you could do that. With the Kyle Wachholzes and Ronnie Makeda, trying to come up with some more of the random quarterbacks. Matt Hasselbeck in the sixth round in 1998. But my point is that I think that's why they have McCord and Ridder, is they're the next reclamation projects. Clearly, they've determined that poor man Clayton Tune, who was playing with the junior varsity, had no chance whatsoever. They clearly saw enough of him to say, okay, he ain't it, which sucks for him, because you could have put Aaron Rodgers with that ragtag group, and he would have had a hell of a time generating offense.
No doubt. Michael Pratt, currently the quarterback of the St. Louis Battlehawks in the United Football League.
Oh, I'm excited for him. I'll have to watch one of their games.
So he's still playing after spending 24 with Green Bay and Tampa before now bouncing to the UFL. I agree with you. But again, the draft picks are a luxury this year. No first-round pick. You've got a lot of other holes to figure out, but we will dive into some of those here in a moment. Let's go to running back. I've noticed you brought this up a lot, and I think it's because 2024 sticks out in your mind. Two off seasons ago when – Brian Gutekunst said he would love and expects Aaron Jones to be back. He goes out and signs Josh Jacobs, who was younger, had less, you know, had less mileage on him, brings him in, releases Aaron Jones. When they signed Josh Jacobs, it kind of viewed like a two-year deal. I think it was a four-year deal, but it could be viewed as a two-year deal. There are several free agent running backs that are younger and have more tread on the tires, say in a Super Bowl MVP in Ken Walker, in the New York Jets. Breece Hall is a free agent. There's some interesting names out there. I still think Jacobs will be the back in 26, but I don't think it would be the most shocking move in the world if Goody kind of redid what he did 2 years ago by bringing in Josh Jacobs and replacing Josh Jacobs with a younger back.
And I wrote a story about it, and it's funny what kind of gets traction. It got a lot of clicks. But I didn't write it as a clickbaity story. I wrote it as a, hey, this has happened once before. So let's not, because to me, it would be asinine to get rid of him. I understand he's not the home run hitter that you would like, but I know I've talked about this with you previously, but I keep flashing back to being in the losing visitors locker room at Soldier Field on that cold January 10th night, talking to Evan Williams. The locker room is almost completely empty. And it's me, him, and Pete Doherty from the Press Gazette in the back corner. And I asked him about the immaturity of his team. And he's such a thoughtful, intelligent guy. He's one of my favorites. He won his first of what I expect to be multiple Mully Award winner trophies this season for being a stand-up guy. Look, you don't have enough mature veteran guys. You got guys with experience, but you don't have enough of those guys in your locker room. And now you're going to kick one to the curb, perhaps the best of the bunch.
Yeah, right.
Like, this is a guy who's not afraid to tell it like it is, right? Including at Radio Row a year ago, saying we need a number one wide receiver. And not to be whatever, but as much as he was chided for that, what a goody draft. So I just, like, the idea of, like, his base salary is $10 million this year, which is not exorbitant. Like, the year before they cut Aaron Jones, he went from $17 million to $11 million. And that was, like, several years ago. And the cap has gone up. Like, you can handle a $10 million salary for Josh Jacobs. So then when you decide after this season, okay, you know, we're going to go with someone younger, we're going to let him walk again, and maybe you've got some veteran presence in the locker room who can pick up the mantle of that part of it, fine. But this year, no blank and way. And if you do that, you know, then what are you saying about how you value all those other intangible parts of what Josh Jacobs does? And by the way, I understand he is not a home run hitter. Again, I get it. But maybe if you had better offensive line performance, this dude would not be getting such a large percentage of his yards after he's been hit. Yeah. You know what makes a running back better? Good blocking. So he gets 3 yards before he gets hit, and then he gets two more instead of getting hit at zero and having to fight to get three. So, and the other part of this, and I know we've talked about this too, and it is just a huge pet peeve of mine, and this isn't fans. I would say this to Goody and to LaFleur. Like, you guys got so pissed at Jair Alexander for not playing through injury that you guys thought he could have been playing through, right? Okay, so you're mad at him, but then we're going to hold it against Josh Jacobs that he played through an injury that he should have never been playing through.
Right.
And wasn't as productive. Yeah, no kidding he wasn't as productive. By the way, he still averaged 4 yards a carry, right? He still, yeah. If he doesn't sit out the last game, he probably still gets to 1,000 yards. He still had 13 rushing touchdowns. So let's not make it sound like this guy sucked. But again, like, there's and this is not anybody's fault, including Marshawn Lloyd himself, but like, the whole idea of drafting that dude in the third round, other than to continue the third round curse, which only Tucker Kraft has broken, and I guess Sean Ryan to some degree has been okay, but like, that he's supposed to be the home run guy, and he's played one game out of a possible 36, including playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's, again, that's not his fault. I mean, you know, you could say, well, he's got to figure out ways to stay healthy, whatever. But again, when you draft people and they don't help you, then you have to conjure up other ways to fill the voids.
I sense you feel passionate about this one.
Well, I like everything about Josh Jacobs. You know, like, again, I've got and I see a lot of things through my dad lens. And, like, you know, Maddie, our oldest, most of what she does are individual sports, right? Golf, cross country, track, gymnastics. Sydney does those things, not track and cross country, because she doesn't understand why anyone would run for fun, which I am Team Sydney on that. But she's also on a lot of teams, right? So, like, for volleyball, like, she was voted a captain. She's like, she's like a culture creature. And I like to think I'm kind of built the same way, even though I wasn't as talented. And Josh Jacobs represents everything I would want in a leader and a teammate, right? And I think there's value in that. And if he stinks, like, let's say I have all the same qualities as Josh Jacobs, but none of the production, well, then what I say doesn't matter much.
Correct.
But he's got both, right? You know, Sid's a really good setter. Like, she's a very good player. And she's also a very good leader. I'm not saying she's Josh Jacobs level, but what I'm saying is that those players are really important.
Yeah, and I agree, and that's why ultimately I think he'll be back, but could this be his last season in Green Bay? That's where I probably more lean. Now, I don't know the contract implications on that, but I think he'll be back. Certainly I think Goody will take a good, long, hard look at it because this is a good free agent running back class, and if you want to get younger, this could certainly be an opportunity. All right, real quick, I want to get to both sides of the trenches. We have about 10 minutes left. On the offensive line, a lot of stuff. Aaron Banks, big decision to make there. Elton Jenkins, we expect to be gone. Sean Ryan is a free agent. You need to create some depth. I don't know if they'll dip into free agency. They're certainly going to use a lot, and even maybe their second-round pick to help beef up that offensive line. Let's just rifle through them. Elton Jenkins, you agree, likely gone?
Yes.
Aaron Banks, this is one I get stuck on.
More likely back.
But could go either way.
I mean, look, he can't come back the way his contract is currently structured. Like, they have to convert that $9 million roster bonus into a signing bonus. He also, if I remember correctly, has a really high base salary for this year,
yeah,
too.
I think it's like third or fourth on the team.
So you can't, like,
Sean
Barry. So and look, I don't want to be unfair to him. He played hurt too. By the way, he's 29 years old. Probably his last year. His base salary for this year is $7.7 million plus $9.5 million in roster bonus that's due. He's got the same setup next year too. So I would predict that they spread it out this year and then don't pay it next year, possibly. But his cap number is $24.79 million for this season. Yeah.
And I believe that's third on the team behind only Love and Gary, who we'll get to in a moment. More likely back for him. Sean Ryan is one I'm stuck on. I think they should bring him back. I don't think he'll be too expensive, and he played well at center. Not necessarily saying he should be the starting center. I just think they should bring him back.
Well, they don't have a – I mean, do they feel good enough about – Jacob Monk to say he's ready for that?
No, but if they spend a second round pick on a center, maybe they want that guy to start.
Right, but maybe they do feel like again the young player thing. Maybe they're like, well, he didn't play great in Minnesota when he got the start, etc. But you know, we think with all the reps he'll be good. I agree with you. Sean Ryan, again, Pro Football Focus is not the end all be all for grades, but he did not grade out well according to them. So, you know, he wasn't terrible, right? But let's be honest. He's probably in the same category as John Runyon. Whereas once upon a time, they would have extended him before he hit free agency, gotten him for a discounted rate, and said, this guy's a solid football player. You need solid football players. Now, the attitude is, this guy's meh. We can find some young guy for a lot less that we could develop, and maybe he becomes more than meh. Yeah. And I think that's ultimately, if he ends up having a soft market, like one of the mistakes of last offseason, in my opinion, was the fact that Josh Myers signed a 1-year, $2 million deal with the Jets. If that's all he was going to get, you should have brought him back.
Right. Even as a depth piece, right? You still kick Elton over the center and then he gets hurt. You have Josh Myers.
Correct.
And that seems to, you know, but neither here nor there. They didn't do it. Let's flip to the defensive line. Rashawn Gary probably have to cut, right? Just from a pure financial standpoint and an effort standpoint, but they want to, and you referenced the Bill Huber article earlier, the number one thing the Packers could learn from the Seahawks is effective pass rush. And obviously Micah Parsons provides that, but to have an experienced guy who they like more than I do, and Rashawn Gary, they could view that as an upside, but he's very expensive. He's got the second biggest cap hit behind the quarterback on the team in 26.
Yeah, and again, I don't know, is he taking a pay cut?
Why would
he? Because he's a first-round pick. Those guys, as Tausch always says, seventh-round picks always have to prove, constantly have to prove they belong in the league. First-round picks constantly have to prove and prove again that they don't belong before they're finally out. So if I'm him, I'm like, no, I'm not taking a pay cut. Cut me. They do. And then I get a pretty good payday from somebody else who thinks they can unlock my ability.
Right.
Good luck. I'm not sure. But, like, look, I would take whatever money that I would allocate for him on a pay cut and try to pay Kingsley and Igbari.
Yep.
That's
totally agree.
If I'm keeping an edge rusher, that's the guy. Because, first of all, you never saw him dogging it. Secondly, he made a play in just about every game down the stretch. Even though they lost them all, he made some pretty big-time plays. And I think he also had one in the Bears game that, yes, he has the big stop on the run play right before the interception to seal the win. Like, that's the kind of guy you need to keep from your draft class that you're about to let most of it walk.
4.5 minutes left. Any chance the Packers bring back Eric Stokes?
I haven't thought about that.
He's the type of guy that and I know obviously they drafted him, but it's a new defensive coordinator. He had a resurgence year in Vegas. He's not going to be crazy expensive. They need corner depth. Is it crazy that I'm open to that?
I don't think it's crazy, but I think it's unlikely.
Yeah, probably. It's good, making decisions, right?
So wait, so the question would be, what's the fluke? Is it the fluke that he had all the injury issues that he did while he was here? Or is the fluke the 1 year that he had in Vegas, you bring him back and then he's got injury problems and plays ineffectively?
Well, the more likely selection and the most likely outcome is the fluke was this past season, yes, which is why they wouldn't do it. But he's young still. I don't know. It's a name that I saw out there and I go, Goody did admit one thing, right? He didn't say, oh, we need to reinvent the room, but he said, we need more depth. And that's a guy who's not going to be terribly expensive who I go, I don't think they're bringing back Trayvon Diggs because it's not 2021, right? It's not the 2020 version of Trayvon Diggs. So I don't know.
No, but again, like this is just, again, it's important to note, like they have allowed that position to wither on the vine, right? 3 consecutive years, they drafted corners in the 7th round. They hit on Carrington Valentine. They missed on Kalen King, or at least didn't see enough to keep him around, right? He ended up leaving after they cut him at the end of camp last year.
And then
Micah Robinson, he's on the practice squad, and then he gets signed off the practice squad by Tennessee. So if you treat – it's the same as the offensive line in 18 and 19, where the only two guys he drafted on the offensive line were Cole Madison, who had struggled with mental health and then tore his ACL, never played for them, and Elton. And then in 2020, he drafts 3 consecutive offensive linemen in the 6th round. You can't let a position wither and die, and then you're like, yeah, we don't have enough depth. Well, yeah, that's how that works.
All right, we are basically out of time, although I could do this for another hour.
I got 10 minutes.
It's a Zoom thing, not a.
If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have wasted so much time talking about your personal life.
Well, that will do it for us. We're going to come back around free agency because a lot of these questions will be answered and some of them still won't be, and we can preview the draft a little bit. But this is always a blast. You make me smarter, and I think our fans feel the same way. So we appreciate you spending some extra time, aside from Wilde and Tausch and Green Bay Game Day and everything else you do throughout the Packers season to educate us and make us think a little bit about the Green Bay Packers.
Well, this was a good idea when you thought of it a couple of years ago, and let's be honest, most of your ideas are not this good. So that's true. Worked out great. So 2 seasons in the books, another, 20 more probably.
I like that idea.
Can you picture you when I'm 73 and you're in your 40s, late 40s? Would you be in 20 years?
I'd be in my late 40s. Yeah. Who's more likely to have a cane at that point, me or you?
Probably you.
Yeah, that's probably right. All right, Jason, channel3000.com. He's got you covered all offseason with the Extra Point newsletter, which you can sign up for there as well. And on social at Jason J. Wilde. For one final time, at least in a weekly occurrence, this has been Weekly Wilde. Jason, thank you.
Thank you for your service. Take care. Be good.